This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Goal Zero. Their mission is to empower people by putting reliable solar energy in the hands of all. They encourage us to lead a solar life, whether that's on the trail or on the road. I know from experience, I use Goal Zero products to stay charged while backpacking and traveling in my Sprinter van. Learn more at www.goalzero.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores, a show for and about inquisitive women in the outdoors, on the road, and besides. If you haven't checked out our website, you'll find 2 years' worth of interviews, artwork, photographs, and stories that have been submitted by women who are inspired by time spent outside. This is part two of the two-part series on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the outdoors and the outdoor industry. Liz Song, my friend from Snowquitted Scout, a resource site about beginner backpacking for women, is back to help me guide this conversation. If you haven't yet, I definitely encourage you to listen to part one, Diversity Beyond the Buzzword, to get a sense of the context we frame this two-part series around. We talked about all the barriers that can keep a diverse range of people from enjoying the outdoors. And since we launched it about a month ago, I've got a lot of feedback, both positive and some less positive. To sum up the positives, they sound like, great, keep doing this, keep talking about this. Feature more diverse women on your podcast and website and social media. Thank you. The less positive sound like, why are you talking about this? The outdoors is for everyone. You didn't do enough in that episode. I'm exhausted by this topic. There is no way to win. Someone is always underrepresented. Lastly, I listened to the episode and enjoyed it, but I was disappointed by the lack of representation on your own website. So I can't address all of these points, but I can address the last. I've run she-explorers.com for 2 years, a little over 2 years, and for much of it, I thought of it as a means to elevate how women express themselves in the outdoors through writing and photography and artwork. It's largely been about how women see the outdoors, but over time, it's also become about how the outdoor community sees women. In this time, I featured white women, I featured Asian American women, I featured fewer Black and Hispanic women, and not a whole lot of LGBTQ that I know of. This hasn't been on purpose. She Explores is largely submission-based, and the submissions of writing and photography have more likely come from white and Asian women. When I open up submissions again in 2017, I'm going to make sure that I don't just tell my current, relatively small audience. I'll do my best to spread it beyond that to access women from more diverse backgrounds. In this episode, we discuss some practical steps to move this conversation forward on both a systemic level, in the media, in big outdoor companies, and through grassroots organizations, and also on an everyday personal level. We pick up where we left off, talking about outdoor media and what is presented there. Here's Ava from the Avarna Group.
As someone who is a backpacker, a climber, a backcountry skier, I'm getting quite bored. I no longer want to read the magazines and articles that I used to want to read because I feel like I'm getting the same story over and over again. And I'm excited to hear other folks' perspective on what it means for them to be outside, especially when it's different from mine, because then it's an opportunity to learn and get inspired in a really different way. I'm excited when I see different perspectives represented in the media.
This was also acknowledged through many listener submissions. Here's one now.
My name is Monse, and I'm an outdoor educator currently based out of Colorado. I've been working in the outdoors for the last 4 years and engaged in various conversations around diversity and inclusion and access to the outdoors. And I am a woman of color, and those are identities that very strongly guide my work and the way that I choose to engage outside. Yes, white people frequent the outdoors and engage in activities such as expedition backpacking and skiing and rock climbing and canoeing. However, this is true if we're only looking at it from this lens, right? This very like privilege lens that they have access to these resources. And I want to push back on this narrative and acknowledge the way that other communities choose to engage in the outdoors. The way that I've seen it look like in my communities is having community events at the local park, or engaging people in the community gardens, or having family get-togethers outside.
As we alluded to in part one, the stringent example of the extreme adventurer as the consumer in the outdoor industry is changing. Just last month, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill to measure the impact of outdoor recreation on the U.S. economy. And it's defined more broadly than advertising in the past may have led you to believe. Some of the activities include fishing and four-wheeling and bicycling and hiking. One of the reasons this bill is important is because by measuring the impact on the economy, we'll better be able to quantify the who, where, how, and how much people are recreating. And that'll help broaden our and outdoor companies' perceptions of what it means to be an outdoorsy person.
Also, more casual lifestyle outdoor brands have been gaining popularity.
This is Liz Song of Snow Queen and Scout.
Over the past few years, companies like Polar Stuff have elevated car camping as an outdoor pursuit for millennials. There's now even a section called Venture Out at Outdoor Retailer, the biggest retail trade show for the outdoor industry. It's full of brands that market to consumers in their 20s and 30s. Their ideal customer doesn't necessarily know what shredding the gnar means. They enjoy spending time outside for its positive benefits, whether that's a walk in the park or their first backpacking trip.
Perhaps that was a long walk to a short point. The definition of outdoor recreation is evolving, and bigger companies are catching up. We're optimistic that who they are marketing to will also start reflecting that changing definition. Back to this idea of outdoor media. Sarah Murphy talks about the importance of seeing people like her outside and in outdoor media.
The ideas of representation and community really hit home for me, especially the feeling of joy that I get when I see other women of color represented in outdoor imagery in particular, or in finding others, quote unquote, like me, who are either Filipino or mixed race or other people of color.
Which brings us back to amplification in outdoor media. We talked to Ava and Aparna at the Avarna Group to find out who's doing this well and how we can make some changes.
So I have two questions that jump out for me. One is, who do you think is doing a good job in outdoor media to represent diversity and be more inclusive? And then two, it makes me wonder if the reason why people kind of go back to the default, if that's a result of an internal staffing and kind of who's showing up to do that work.
So I think that, so again, this is not necessarily outdoor recreation specific. High Country News has made a concerted effort in the last couple of years to represent different voices and different stories as it relates to conservation. And they've done that in a couple of different ways. They've hired Glenn Nelson to write stories, and he writes stories that were not being written at High Country News before. He has a particular lens and adds some richness to their content. And he really is specifically writing about diversity and inclusion and equity in the outdoors, because that happens to be his particular interest. I would also say that they are covering a wide breadth of issues that are conservation issues. So they are not just talking about the discourse between ranchers and bikers on BLM land, but they are also talking about issues that are impacting Indigenous people. And then finally, they are also bringing, as far as I know, a couple of folks on staff of color or queer folks who are not specifically writing about issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion, but are experts in different areas, and their experiences may or may not come through in their writing. Nevertheless, it's important for those folks to be on staff because it enriches the staff of High Country News. You know, one of the things that we often warn people about is just because you hire someone and they happen to be a person of color doesn't necessarily mean they want to be writing about issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. They may be wanting to write about skiing. They may want to be writing about climbing. And then I will also say, like, it's really exciting to see a couple of folks of color who have been hiking the PCT or the CDT hearing their blogging. I think that Outdoor Afro and Latino Outdoors, of course, are elevating the voices of African-American, Black folks and Latino folks in the outdoors. But I haven't seen a mainstream publication really make a shift in the outdoor recreation sector. Parna, do you have any other thoughts?
I can think of mainstream non-outdoor media that has done some amazing work and has touched on outdoor. NPR has a Code Switch blog, and there was a whole episode of Code Switch that explores diversity in the outdoors. And then they also talk about other aspects of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and race, and culture. So Code Switch has been doing a pretty amazing job. And again, that's outside the outdoor sector. I am really like racking my brain, to be honest, right now. We often get asked like who's done it right or who's got it right, whether it's in the media or whether it's like an outdoor company or whether it's a nonprofit. And I think like we're just all on this journey. Like no one's got it right yet. And everyone's doing little bits and pieces of good work.
I want to highlight here that it's important to have diversity within organizations as well. And at the same time, just because someone identifies as, say, a person of color, doesn't mean they need to be the only one writing about it, advocating, or being, quote unquote, the voice for all people of color. I was in marketing for a number of years at a nonprofit, and there was a culture of voicing when our marketing material was too homogenous. And actually, folks were proactive about saying, we need to make sure we have diverse representation in our marketing material. And if there wasn't enough, we'd go back to the drawing board and look for better content. It was a high value within the organization, and we were expected to express those values in what we created.
It's also worth repeating that Liz and I have seen a lot of awareness articles in the media lately, and these have included Outside Magazine, Los Angeles Times, and USA Today. We see change happening. These are big media outlets, and they reach a lot of people. Back to Aparna.
We usually tell organizations is that it's really important to meet people where they are at. And so if the outdoor industry is saying, oh, our door's open and people aren't coming, what's the deal? I think it's really important for them to sort of engage in a little bit of introspection about the culture of the outdoor industry and how there might be some hidden, implicit, unconscious biases, we use them all interchangeably, that might be preventing people of color from being able to participate in the outdoor industry or feel included once they show up. And that's not only in like working for the companies, but also engaging in recreation. There's so many stories of people who have had experiences of being excluded in like public lands, some of the places that I love to recreate. And so I think that it's not as simple a matter as open the door and people should come.
Often change happens at a grassroots level. There are a number of relatively new nonprofits that are dedicated to diversifying outdoor spaces. They're doing a fantastic job of meeting people where they are at and elevating their voices. Latino Outdoors is one of them. Graciela Cabello is a national director at Latino Outdoors.
We are actually a volunteer-led organization, started in California with a couple volunteers who just wanted to get more involved in supporting Latino engagement in the outdoors. So now we have grown to about 14 different regions across the country, and we're focused on a couple different areas, and one of them being engagement, so you know, being of service to the community and leading outings like hikes, walks, connecting people to park, kayaking. And then the second area is supporting the leaders that are doing the work and just building a stronger network nationally to be able to grow in the space and have a greater access to any sort of nature-based careers, whether that's conservation, environment, outdoor leadership. And then the third area that we're focused on is really reshaping the narrative. So having a positive narrative about Latinos in the outdoor movement and what our cultural connections are to nature and the outdoors. And then we do that through collecting blog posts or really being present in social media, making sure that people see themselves reflected in the outdoors, because that really helps affirm that sense of belonging.
Why do you think that sense of belonging is important?
You grow up with an idea of what you are meant to or where you do or do not belong. And so whether you have role models or not, that can really have an impact in what your path looks like.
Remember Miho from episode 1? She told us briefly about the Wilderness and Civil Rights Acts. Well, we want to bring her back to share more about what she does and what drives her.
So if she can do what you can to empowering women through outdoor role models, really started from my personal experience as a woman of color, an immigrant, adult immigrant, moved to the United States in the environmental outdoor education field. I realized that I don't really see somebody who look, sound, and live like me be in this field. And a lot of media images of outdoor role models tend to be very white as well as male dominated. So I wanted to create a media project that gives voice to women, but especially women of color, and who are actively engaged in either outdoor sports or environmental works.
One of your goals, I noticed, is to provide women of color with role models who look, sound, and live like them. Can you say more about why you think that's so important?
I think there is this term, it's called mirror effect, which means that if you see somebody whom you can relate to, or if you see somebody who shares similarity with you, in a position that maybe holds some power or influence, you're likely to believe that's also an option for you. So that's one of the reasons why having President Obama, a Black president, is really important for Black communities, especially kids, because now they think it's their option to become president. Because of that perspective, I think it's really important when we think about who are the images that we either intentionally or unintentionally project to the world. And I know from my own experience, I never consider myself to become a climber or a surfer or a telemark skier. These are three identities of mine at this point. But, you know, I never thought about it because I never seen anybody who looks like me or who shares similar experience with me doing these things. There's just so many reasons why we need more role models that shows diverse experiences and faces so that people who are looking at these media, they'll be like, oh, this person has a similar life experience as me. I want to try that. Or, wow, this person looks like me.
Miho brings up a great point here about the mirror effect. I'm not Black. I'm Korean American. But witnessing Barack Obama becoming our first Black president deeply inspired me. It made me wonder about the possibility of an Asian American woman serving as our nation's president. That would blow my mind. I'm curious about you who are listening. Who have you seen in media, in your life, or from afar, who's inspired you to do something you might not have imagined for yourself?
There are organizations like Latino Outdoors and individuals like Miho who are educating and creating media to show diverse representation. We also know about Outdoor Afro, an organization connecting the Black community with outdoor recreation and conservation. But have you heard about Out There Adventures yet? This is Elise Rylander, the organization's executive director.
Out There Adventures was started at the intersection of my lifelong love affair with the outdoors and the fact that I am part of the queer community and wanting to share my passion and enthusiasm for nature with those that are in my community and maybe haven't had the same privileges and luck that I have had in regards to spending time outside.
I noticed that the goal of Out There Adventures is to empower queer young people through their connection with the natural world. Why is that so important?
I mean, I think it's important for all of us, right? You know, there's lots of empirical data now that talks about the importance of connecting with nature just for our mental health, our emotional health, and obviously our physical health. And then when you apply that logic to a community that is underserved, that is facing statistically a lot of barriers, a community that experiences higher than normal levels of abuse, of addiction, of homelessness, of stress and anxiety, depression, you know, suicide. I think it is incredibly important for groups like that to be able to experience the benefits of getting outside. And the queer community also doesn't possess a history of connecting with nature. We, for the purposes of finding a community, often self-urbanize, right? We move from rural spaces to urban ones to try to find resources, to try to find partners, friends, people that understand us. And that can push us further away from our connection with nature and from the healthy benefit of being outside.
Do you think that there are additional barriers to queer people of color?
When you talk about intersectionality and you just add those layers of marginalized identities, of course, it's more difficult. People of color are already drastically underrepresented in the outdoor industry. And then you add on top of that a marginalized identity around your sexuality or your gender, that ability to be represented and to see yourself in someone else gets even smaller. So it's something that we are definitely aware of. And, you know, admittedly, we are a very white organization right now. And that's something that I would like to change. As we get more resources and have the capacity to hire different instructors, I would love to see our participants better reflected in the staff that we have, because we right now are actually serving a lot of youth of color and a lot of trans youth. And neither myself or my co-instructor and sort of the other half of the organization fall into those categories. As a socially just organization, or as an organization that tries to be socially just, it is really important to us that we allow the participants to see themselves in their instructors, because that's what's really going to help them develop and then maintain a connection to being outside. That's what's going to really help create those sort of lifelong lovers of the out-of-doors.
This is just a glimpse of what's happening on an organizational level to address the increasing need for diversity, equity, and inclusion in our outdoor spaces. We could definitely go on, but we promised real, actionable ways you, our listeners, can promote a more inclusive outdoor environment. And we'll get to that after a word from our sponsor, Goal Zero.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Goal Zero. Goal Zero doesn't just make products to help us take chances in our outdoor lives. Through their Share the Sun project, they put reliable power in the hands of people around the world. Goal Zero works with charitable partners like Action Humanitarian, the Honnold Foundation, and Typhi.org to power education in Ghana, light up environmental disaster zones in the Philippines, and bring solar to the Navajo Nation. Just this summer, the Goal Zero team accompanied representatives of the Human Outreach Project to Nepal's Khumbu Valley to distribute solar and medical equipment. Nepal is rebuilding after last year's earthquake, and Goal Zero provided solar panels to schools and medical hospitals. This expedition was part adventure, part humanitarian, both of which reside at the heart of Goal Zero. Learn more at www.goalzero.com/solarlife. That's www.goalzero.com/solarlife. Now, back to the episode. Because we know that some of you might be wondering what you can do yourselves, we asked our experts to speak to this point and got some really good tips. Let's start with one point from Miho.
The most important thing is that acknowledge your own background. Know your cultural background regardless of what cultural background you come from. Just understanding your own history, your background, your language, I think it's really important. And I think often when we talk about cultures, some people say, I don't have a culture and I don't believe in that. And it's almost to me when somebody says that, it's to me, it's a red flag, because that person has lived a life that's in a place where they're just like surrounded by privilege that you never had to think about your own culture. I think before you can reach out to a community, you have to know yourself. Like, how can you build a bridge if you are not solid in your own ground, in your own heritage?
Do you feel like you have a solid sense of who you are and your background, regardless of your ethnicity? What would it mean to identify with your heritage? I've heard many white friends tell me they don't feel like they're part of a culture, including Gail on the last episode. And now, with our current racial climate, many white friends feel ashamed to be white and feel whiteness automatically equates them with being racist. I can imagine it's even harder to want to associate oneself with being white if that's the association. If you're white, do you resonate with that? What do you need to help you explore and understand your whiteness? And if you're a person of color, do you connect with your ethnic background? What has or hasn't helped you understand your heritage?
I think just ground yourself. And if you are a white person, I think it's really important to really learn about what white privilege is and understanding the historic and continuous oppressions that impact the people of color and other marginalized communities. Don't ask always answers to what I can do as a white person. Put some effort to give yourself some homework. You know, find other white communities who hold racial discussions. There are so many ways that you can get involved, but first you need to know yourself.
So there's introspection, the practice of self-reflection, and self-inquiry. And then there's humility. Elise says it well.
Just be real, you know, like just admit that maybe you don't know the best way to support someone. We're so afraid of having these conversations where you admit that you don't know what's going on. Take ownership of the mistakes that you make. That's where I have found things to be the most supportive. When I know that I can say, ooh, you know what? Actually, that comment that you made didn't land well with me, and here's why. And to have that information be received. And then to know that that person isn't going to hold that over my head. It's not going to be manipulated, right? They're just going to not do that again because they care about making a safe space for me. So I think that level of sympathy and empathy and understanding that it's important for all of us to feel safe, you know, be real, admit when you don't know what's going on or you don't know how to move forward and ask people who do know or have a better idea what you can do to improve and ask questions, be inquisitive, be supportive, and be humble. I think above all, you just need to be humble.
Graciela iterated on this point of inquiry.
Just asking people what it is that they need or how they want to recreate outdoors. I think a lot of the times we make assumptions about the way things should be done. And so things as simple as being aware of a group size or certain, you know, cultural differences is important. I think it depends on the situation and what kind of group you're going out with, but just being aware of traditions that have maybe been instilled for generations and then any differences that new groups may have.
Let's take even this point of why an organization like Latino Outdoors exists. Instead of assuming why they exist, what might it be like to ask questions, to deeply understand and listen?
Just having these conversations, and if people understand the mission of why diversity and inclusion in the outdoors is important, just even having the conversation with friends or others in the space is important. We get a lot of pushback sometimes about our mission, and some folks say that we're creating a divisive movement, not really understanding that the mission is intended to be a supportive platform. And so I think for me, even just having conversations with friends at times has been difficult because they don't, it's not always clear as to why this work is necessary. So if we can get through that first hurdle of people understanding our mission and our goal and why it's beneficial to everybody, then that'll have a larger positive impact on the whole movement. A lot of the times I hear, you know, that the change has to start at the top, and leaders at the top need to make changes in terms of staffing and creating different policies, which I agree is definitely needed, but we also need to start at the bottom as a community and asking for these changes to happen. I think that gets left out sometimes where all the conversations are happening at the top, but if those at the bottom are not asking for the change to happen, then it becomes a lot more difficult.
We want to highlight what Graciela said just now about change not needing to come from the top down. We can ask for this change. We as individuals and as a community can be co-creators in bringing about change.
So just being supportive is important, and understanding that it's a completely different world in the outdoors. And it can be intimidating and exciting and all of it at the same time, but it could also shape whether an individual decides to continue or is turned off by the experience.
I remember a Vietnamese-American girlfriend of mine took a training with Bay Area Wilderness Training. And they had gone backpacking for a week and learned not just how to backpack, but also how to teach younger students how to do it themselves. So when she came back, she told me all about the PRAG. And I was both grossed out and totally intrigued all at the same time. What do you mean you wipe your pootie on a bandana and then hang it on your backpack? I loved that she was also learning about backpacking at the same time as I was. And she was able to laugh about it and encourage me to try something new too. And now I love it. It helped me to know that my friend had never tried a PRAG before, but became a fan of it. And her openness, in essence, gave me permission to experiment as well.
Liz introduced me to the PRAG as well. But to keep us on track, are you noticing a theme here? Communication. It really is at the root of understanding people, on the trail or at a campsite or in a business meeting. The Varna Group encourages us to rethink the way we ask questions.
How to just connect with someone without making assumptions about who they are. I think asking these really open-ended questions about, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where do you currently call home? If you meet someone on the trail, asking them, like, where's your destination today? Have you been here before? Really basic open-ended questions that don't highlight people's difference or highlight their marginalized identities, because that can feel like a microaggression. And so I think that when we're talking about outdoor recreation, we're often talking about, like, just being outside and being with other people. It's really about just asking open-ended questions and genuinely getting to know people without wanting to put them in a box, and letting them share pieces of their identity that they want to share, and not drilling down on these pieces of identity that you want to know just because you're super curious.
Or just being aware that, you know, it's in certain situations.
Graciela Cabello of Latino Outdoors.
It could be a group's or an individual's first outdoor experience. They don't know what the etiquette is, and by putting them in an uncomfortable situation or being, you know, rude, it doesn't make the space welcoming. And so how do you turn an educational opportunity into a positive opportunity?
I remember one of my first experiences backpacking was in the Grand Canyon with my mom and her Korean hiking group. I was by far the youngest one on the trip, surrounded by mostly 50 to 70-year-old Korean immigrants who love the outdoors. Everyone was more experienced at backpacking than I was at that point, and they were so kind in their gentle instruction when I had no idea what I was doing. I remember the unofficial leader of our group told me to walk slowly because I was carrying a load and to enjoy each slow step. We weren't in a race. Mostly, though, I remember I never felt judged for not knowing what I was doing. These old-time Koreans simply welcomed me to join them in what they loved.
The first time I went backpacking, I went with my boyfriend, and he carried the bulk of the weight because I didn't even own a backpacking bag. We forgot the fuel to cook our dinner, and we found out that the Maine coast is absolutely flooded with mosquitoes in July. I wore stretch pants, and the mosquitoes could bite through them, so I ended up counting at least 50 mosquito bites before bed. It was kind of a disaster, but it was gorgeous, and I learned that I wanted to do it again.
We're curious, as listeners, what kind of experience have you had on the trail? What types of questions have you been asked? Were those helpful or unhelpful to you? I know we asked a lot of questions in this episode. I think it reflects our own process of inquiry and curiosity while navigating diversity, equity, and inclusion in the outdoors. Which brings us to one of the many action steps we want to sum up as we wrap up this two-part series.
Here we go. 1, reflect. Take time to dig deeper within yourself. Consider your heritage. Think about who you are, your experiences, and how your background colors your experiences in the outdoors. What might your unconscious biases be? What do you bring to the table? 2, get curious. Ask questions to understand where someone's coming from. How might you hold an open posture in having conversations with people who are different from you? 3, support organizations on the front lines of DEI. Give money to nonprofits like Outdoor Afro, Out There Adventures, and Latino Outdoors. They need funding to do the important work that they're doing. 4, follow these organizations on social media and help amplify the work that they're doing. It's simple, and anyone can do it with the click of a button. Like Graciela mentioned earlier, we can't just wait for companies to change the face of who's represented in media. We, those who are on the ground, can amplify other people's voices. Whether you have a large following or not, use your influence to not just amplify your voice or your experience, but use it to share others who might not get as much airtime. On a personal level, I know that I've been thinking differently about who to feature on She Explores, both online and on this podcast. 5, encourage companies to be more inclusive in their media representation. You can comment on their imagery, write letters, and voice your concern with companies to include a wider variety of people in their media. Yes, you totally can. Businesses want to please their customers, and they will hear you. I also want to add that in the anecdotal conversations that I've had with some marketing directors at a variety of companies, I've noticed that they are paying attention to this, and they are looking to make change. You can already see it in REI's blog and in a lot of their advertising. It's not a plug for REI, it's just something that I've noticed. So we'll include all of these practical steps on the podcast landing page via she-explores.com/podcast, so it's convenient for you to take these small steps. We'd also love for you to reflect and share your thoughts with us on any aspect of this podcast that struck you. It's been an important journey for both of us to contribute to this conversation in an industry that we love. And if there are ways we can support this dialogue and keep it going, we'd love to hear it. We want to end on a quote from Teresa Baker, an activist and blogger behind African American Explorations. It speaks to the benefits and unity that nature can bring. In her words, "The beauty of the outdoors is really more of a feeling than anything else. There's hope and inspiration, solitude and envy, the desire to protect and keep out all trespassers who do not appreciate the sanctity of such a precious space." So for everyone who continues to ask, "What's the big deal?" I answer, give yourself a few hours. Take a hike through a national or state park, find a place to be still, take in the sounds and the sights, and notice the calming effect. Gather your thoughts, seize those thoughts. Know that in that very moment, Mother Nature is at work, reminding you that life is more than the monetary things we chase. The beauty of that space will stay with you and beckon you back, simply because that is what our spirits yearn for, an awakening that our everyday lives take from us. Nature is replenishing, and that is what I desire for us all. Liz and I desire that for all of you as well. Thank you to our sponsor, Goal Zero. Thank you as well to all the interviewees and contributors to this two-part series. Liz and I couldn't have put this together without you. My last thanks goes out to everyone who filled out the survey about this podcast for 2017. I'm already learning a lot. Music is by Mize, Mind's Eye, and Dr. Rinkel. I'll be taking a little break for the holiday, but we'll be back in 3 weeks to kick off the new year. However you spend year end, I hope it's a time of reflection and celebration. Enjoy.